Tonight, I almost said we have a man who needs no introduction, but I learned my lesson. I had Dr. Lee Robertson in my church in Atlanta, and I said that, and he got up and he said, "Well, I guess I don't. I didn't get one." And so, but let me put it this way. I doubt there's anybody tonight in this crowd who doesn't know Dr. Charles King. And he is Mr. Missions as far as I'm concerned, and has so much to offer that we just feel like we need all of it we can get. And he, of course, was a pastor there in Milford, Ohio for a number of years, and all of you have heard that story of how many missionary families God called out of there. And then a while back established First Bible to get the Bible to those who don't have it. And so, Dr. King, if you'll come, we're so delighted to have you tonight. And you preach the Word of God as He has laid it on your heart.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being with us. Thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. If you would take your Bible, please, and find the book of Hebrews, I have good news for you. I don't have a long sermon. I've been preaching 50 years, and so what I've learned is that preaching after a meal is not a good plan. And I'm glad to see John and Elena here. I've known them since they were kids and I was young. And I'm glad to hear you going back to singing again on the road. God bless you for it. I feel like Herod, who said to his fourth wife, "I'll not be keeping you long." So you get that later. Brother Rumsey confessed to me he didn't have his Bible with him. And a lot of the rest of you should have. Amen. Thank you, Brother King. Oh, yeah. My wife doesn't have her Bible. You go sit with her. I am really glad to be here, and I mean that, preacher. I've been praying for you, too. But God bless you. I want to read just a couple of verses from the book of Hebrews. And I will not be long, but in the book of Hebrews, we have, of course, what we would call the faith chapter of heroes. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now look at verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Hebrews 11:2, For time's sake, would you go over to verse 39? And these all having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for Brother Beard. He has been for a long time a faithful man. Thank you for his wife and family. And Lord, Paul said that He was copyable in some areas, and certainly Brother Beard is copyable in some areas. And Lord, I pray you'd bless our meeting this week. May we go home knowing you better, loving you more, with a greater faith reach and a greater dedication to the cause of Christ. And I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I pray you'd be in all of it. I thank you and I love you, Jesus, and I pray in your precious name, amen. You know, we have five physical senses with which to relate to our physical world. We have sight and hearing, feeling, taste, and smell. And all of those, with those five senses, we can get all out of our world that is to be gotten out of it. Then we come to our spiritual life, and we're to relate to God, but we have a problem. God is invisible. And he's inaudible. And he doesn't allow us to make images of him. So how can we relate to a God that's invisible, inaudible, and refuses any images made of him? Not only are we to relate to him, but we're to relate to him to the point where we will worship him. Not just casual introduction and like we do and like I do and like you do, but we need to know he wants us to know him well enough, but he's invisible. He wants us to know him well enough, but he's inaudible. He wants us to know him well enough, but he doesn't allow images made of him well enough where we'll worship him. That's quite a relationship for us to have with him. And then he wants us to know him well enough where that we will let him order our lives. Where we'll let him become first in everything in our lives. There's no second place with God. He wants to be before my wife. We have four children. Before our children. We have 16 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. And he wants to be in front of... In fact, he said, just go ahead and hate your father and mother. But I can see. Now, I know you know what that means. The whole point is he's saying, I'm just not taking second place to anybody. So, Lord, it seems to me like if that's what you require out of me, then you it would behoove you to reveal yourself to me in real ways. Because I have to, I can't worship a thought, or I can't worship a system. I have to worship God. And so the point is, I wonder if God can and will show me himself in such a way that he will be first in my life. That he will be able to order my life and, like Brother Beard and you men, lead and me follow. Quit a job. Leave a country. Go to another continent. Leave a family at home to have Thanksgiving and Christmas without us this year. Is he willing to reveal himself to us in that way? Where, you know, I get tired of a song you're trying to get me to worship. Thank you, Brother King. You're trying to get me to stroke me, John. Trying to get me to have a warm and fuzzy. I think worship is an involuntary response to greatness. When he's exalted, I'm going to worship him. And so God, you require so much out of me. You want my first dollar of every 10, and you want my children, you want my life, and you want my time, and you want my day. And do I know you well enough to respond to that obediently with joy? So I go to Hebrews chapter 11 and I find men there and women there mentioned. And Hebrews chapter 11 to me is like a bookshelf of biographies. Starts out with Abel, goes all the way to some unnamed ladies. And I think there are 19 proper nouns in Hebrews 11. There's folks argue over who wrote it. I think Paul did. One guy told me he thought John R. Rice. I don't think that's true either. But anyway, and I often wonder if God would write another book if I'd fit in there anywhere. Could I be an example that our brother Garvin talked about, Brother Beard? These men are examples. What their life screams to me is, he will let you know him that well. Where that you can and will worship him and love him and serve him and be glad at it. I ask myself, it says in our verses, it says that the elders obtained a good report. And then the other verse says, these all having obtained a good report. So I ask myself these questions. Who did they get a good report of? Who's a good report about? Well, of course, the answer is God. They got a good report about God. Why did God need a good report? Because the devil was lying on him. The devil started lying about our God to Adam. Been lying to us ever since. God to Adam said, you know, God knows that if you do what I tell you to, that you get everything he's holding back from you. That's a lie. He wouldn't hold nothing back. He gave him everything but one little tree. And so the devil's been lying ever since, so God needs a good report from somebody. Where did they get that good report from? I'll come back to that. How good was the report they got? And all that. So let me just give you very quickly now, I promise you, the progressive revelation of God to man. The progressive revelation of God to man. First of all, we find out that God gave the revelation to man by the spoken word. By the spoken word. Peter, I have verses on that, but I won't go to them. Said that wasn't the best way, but that was a start. And from Adam to Moses, God built a relationship with himself and his creation through the spoken word mostly. You don't find any writing back there. And you don't find much back there except God said to different men at different times different things to do. And God, they received a good report from God by the spoken word. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua. They all got a good report through the spoken word. Here's my question. How good was the report? It was good enough that Abel offered a lamb, blood sacrifice. It was good enough that Enoch walked with him. The spoken word built a good enough relationship that Abraham offered his son. The spoken word was good enough that Sarah filled an empty womb. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the spoken word was good enough. And their report about God was good enough that their life is defined by their relationship to His Word. I'm talking progressively now. Then we come to Moses. When Moses comes on the scene, God adds a new dimension for fellowship with Himself. That's the written Word. God gave Moses the written Word. And then from Moses, for the next 1,600 years, God kept giving men His written Word. 42 authors in three different continents. And up to this point, God had only spoken to man through His spoken Word. Now He's given an additional dimension to it. And how good was that? How good was that Word, that written Word, to men He gave it to? Well, it was good enough that Moses divided the Red Sea. He fed 1 million people, 2 meals a day. I like our plan better. We eat 3. 2 meals a day for 40 years. I had a guy figure that for one time. That's over 3 billion meals. So Moses, he got plugged in there. Moses had such a relationship with Him that he could bring water from a rock. Joshua divided the Jordan River. Rahab perished not, and women received their dead to life again, all because of the written Word. So I'm just trying to say that God in the spoken Word built a relationship with man good enough that it defined man's life, and the dimensions of these lives are defined by the faith of the written Word. The next progression of God revealing Himself to man is the incarnation. Now it's not pen, it's Son. Now it's not ink on paper, it's blood and sinew and flesh. We got a good report from the incarnation. Emmanuel. That means God with us, you know that. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What are you trying to say, Brother Keene? I'm simply trying to say that the incarnation is God's next effort at relating to man. And how good a report was that? Watch Him dying in the Colosseum. Watch the apostles dying on the mission field. Pretty good report. Here's the last thing I'll give you. How's God showing Himself today to us? Through His spoken Word? No, I don't think so. Through His written Word? Yes. Through the incarnation? Yes. You want to know what God thinks about something? See how Jesus handled it. You want to know what God thinks about little babies? You know, I pastored a long time and I got tired of lying in the hospital about a baby. I used to say, "Oh, that's a beautiful baby. Look like an accordion." Now I just start saying, "Oh, that's a baby. Let them fill in the blank." Anyway, wise men came to worship Him. Matthew said, "That's Emmanuel, God with us." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What's the thing about babies? Watch Him cradle them. Widows, watch Him protect them. Sinners, watch Him touch the leper. Poor, watch Him feed them. The outcast, watch Him gather them. He's just showing what God is and wants to be to man. And then he went to the cross to show man the love of God. You know what? He gave us a good report on the deeds of God and the person of God. So my question is, where do we go now to see God? We go to the Bible. Yeah, you'd agree with that. Or the life of Christ in the Bible. That's right. But here, I have wonderful news for you. God loves non-Bible readers. Isn't that deep? I was a non-Bible reader one time, Neil. God loved me when I wasn't looking for Him in a book. I can find Him now in a lot of places. A fellow said to me yesterday, he said, Brother King, you could find missions on the cover of the book. I probably could. But because the man God doesn't love, God wants to be revealed to, so He can draw him to Himself. So you know where God is now working? Through your testimony. You are giving testimony to the deeds of God by how you live. And the bad thing about a bad testimony is that you're defaming the God of heaven. My mother used to say, and she sometimes said it often, quit acting ugly. What she's saying was, you weren't taught to act that way. How often do we betray our Heavenly Father and not show Him by acting ugly? You know, I know most of you are perfect, but I have a hard time with some things, don't you? You know, I'm thinking about starting a campaign to legalize road rage. No, I'm just kidding. But there are some things that... Anyway, you got the point. We're Christians. They first were called Christians in Antioch. I'm supposed to be Christ-like. When I was a kid, I was pretty ordinary. I'm a little ordinary right now, but I was pretty ordinary when I was a kid in school. We used to do graffiti on faces in textbooks. You ever do that? You put pork chop sideburns on the guy and part his hair in the middle like that, and down, put a beard on him and deface the fellow that the author put in the book to help us learn something. We deface him. And that's what we sometimes we're not careful to do with God. We're supposed to be godly. And Christian, and we tell it out and we show it. And then when an opportunity comes for hard things to let God work to show through us, we're not careful, we act like the world. God loses that report that He could make to others through us if we would just be faithful. Can I give you just one verse? Would you just look, if you have your Bible, would you find 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Here's a good verse. I was a good friend, Tom Malone, and I heard him preaching this one time. I never forgot it. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You know what missions is? Giving those who have never heard a good report on one they need to know. Look at verse back at chapter 11. Look at the last verse of the chapter, and then I'll make my prayer. I promise you I will. And look at verse 39. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So we have a part in this Hebrews 11. I had a lot of books. I don't have so many now, but when I passed, I had 4,000 volumes in my library. And when I got ready to resign, I had a missionary in. I gave him an empty box and tell him, son, when you go in there and fill up all, you have any books you want in my library, if you fit in that box. I gave lots of books to missionary people that way. But, so you ever have the two bookends and you're just trying to work one more book in? You know what I mean? Maybe a little thin. You know, I think, God, if you said here in verse 40, that we have a place. I want to have a place where I, too, give a good report, not God. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to better men than I am, smarter than I am. Know more about it than I do. I'm not trying to be humble either, Lord. Lord, I want to give a good report to those that don't know you. I want to know you well enough to give a good report about you. I don't want it to be forced, or I don't want to be trained in it. I want it to be a response from my heart about my God to those he loves in this world. Lord, bless these people. I don't have any idea what problems are present in this room, what poverties are present, and what family needs are, what health needs are. I don't know any of that, Lord. I do know that you know. And I pray you be on my present, each of us, and minister to us. Be the great physician, Lord. And Lord, may you anoint our head this week with oil, and we be refreshed, I pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher. God bless you.